relationships. We want to be talking about relationships across the board, okay? But we are going to open up with a question, okay? And so I'm going to, let's start off. Don't we have slides, Dion? Okay, we have the next slide. Okay. So this is what I'm going to be asking the guys. Guys, what do you look for in a girl? Oh, and this is going to be the stinger. And be careful what you say. You got to be honest, but be careful because, you know. What do you think is her role in the relationship, in the hypothetical relationship, if you're not in a relationship? Yeah. And Craig's going to be answering for you guys, okay? So just remember, he's going to be taking all the shots, whatever you say, okay? So make sure it's bad. Okay. And then the ladies, what do you look for in a guy, okay? And what do you think is his role in the relationship? Or if you are in a relationship, if you are married, what about the person that you are in a relationship drew you into that relationship in the first place? If you want to change the question a bit, but I think you get the general idea. So I'm gonna give you some time for this, okay? So I'm gonna give you about a good 5 minutes. Maybe we'll need a bit more time. We'll see. Now the guys, yes, they love to discuss. The second question, what do we think her role is in the relationship, eh? They're going to pull out scriptures and... No, I'm joking. Okay, let's get going with this. Okay, so Renee's going to come around and she's going to get the answers and Craig with the guys. Okay, great. Go for it. Okay. So let's kick it off. Craig... What was the general consensus? What are guys looking for? Just answer the first one. What are guys looking for?
A stunner. a woman firstly with a love and a heart for God and in a relationship with God. And Simon says you must be a swimsuit model, but we just. Everyone's got a different view on that. So she must be trustworthy, and she must be sincere and respect the guy for who he is. She must have similar background and values to you, and she must have a good vision and a dream. She must know where she's going in life. Good vision and a dream. And she must be a friend first. Friendship and a forgiver. Come on. And someone said he likes a girl with good hands. And honor. Honor is a good one.
Okay. Just calm down. Okay. Girls can have a turn.
For the good hands, if you have a ring on it, it's generally gooder. Okay, so I've got some special things here from Drama. Must contain some muscle. And then Michelle, you must be a good singer. They're still single if you... Yoda, sorry, my bad. Okay. So, I think some of us, what we look for in a guy and his role in the relationship is pretty much the same thing. Or not pretty much, but close to. And first of all, it's also like a passion for God and to pursue God. And then you must be a friend first. That also came up quite generally. And then just, you must... Treat us nicely. He must have a kind heart. He must have a light heart and vision. He must have vision that also comes in with the role. He must be able to lead and lead in general, lead in pursuing you, lead in pursuing God. And then he must have a relationship with Christ. He must respect, he must be passionate, he must live by God's word. He must be humble with confidence. He must love his mother. And you're not easily angered or easily tempered. And also, like, he must be able to be real and not just, you know, like, hey, look at my guns. That's mine, thanks. And then also just general hygiene. Some guys are not so good with that, but leave him alone.
Okay, great. Okay, so now Craig and Renee, you've been married since January. Fantastic. So now we're talking about what do you look for in a girl, what do you look for in a guy, but obviously now you guys are married, so that doesn't apply to you. Okay, but now out of sort of all the feedback that you've gotten, how sort of realistic do you think it is? Because, you know, we sort of, there's reality, and then reality sort of plays against expectations, right? Okay, expectations and reality, I don't know if you've experienced, but they don't always align. I mean, yeah, so Craig, how much of what was being spoken about do you think, now talking about your relation, do you think is realistic, or do you think is, okay, guys, you know, back to the drawing board?
I left out all the bad ones, so that's gone already. Everyone has a different view on who's beautiful and what you perceive as beautiful. So, yeah, God gave you attraction for a reason, and you will find the person that you feel attracted to. And that's, yes, there must be, the person will be your friend for sure first. And a love for the Lord is really good. First and foremost, because marriage prep in this place is cool. You guys must do it, really. But I think it was Armo said to us, your marriage should be like a triangle, with the top corner God and the bottom two corners is you and your spouse. And the closer you get to God, the closer you get to each other. Yeah, and trust is also a big one, I think. Of course. And the ring definitely helps with the hands, for sure. Yeah. And if you guys are walking on the same values, it makes things a whole lot more easier.
Yeah, great. Thanks, Craig. Yes, you're brave, eh? Okay, so same question to you. You've heard a lot of what was spoken about. What do you think is lining up in reality with what you've experienced so far in your marriage? And what do you think, not so much?
Cut me short if I'm talking too long. Okay, so I had a list of what I wanted in my husband. I didn't really write it down, but I knew in my head. And you must love God, and Craig really loves God. I wouldn't settle for anything less than that. And, like, Craig is really kind, that's true. And he was first a friend, and he's still my best friend. So that really applies. But sometimes we forget that we are both humans, and therefore, also, like, sometimes, obviously, you're like, why did you do that? Or that was not kind. Well, generally, Craig is quite really nice. But I think the closer that person is to God, the more he is like Jesus. Like, we become like whatever we worship. And that is so true. Like, I've experienced that. Like, the closer Craig is to God, like, you know, I can really, really feel it. And then, but the same for me. Like, I must be able to forgive really quickly. And this list is really applies. Like, it is real. You must want all those good things You shouldn't want anything less than just the good things. But then I must be close enough to God, and I must be able to forgive him and not judge him by the list, but love him by the list. Don't know if it makes sense.
It's fantastic. So, yeah, so the girls are leading. One's now joking. Love's not a competition. Hey, okay. So let's go to the next question. This one's an interesting one. I could have phrased it, "What are your expectations on the relationship?" But I specifically asked, "What do you think is for the guys? What do you think her role is? What do you think she's supposed to be doing?" You know. She must make me a cup of tea every day, you know, because, you know, that's what my mother did for me, you know. And the guy and the girls think, well, you know, I'm not going to work ever in my life, you know. That's his job. He must bring home the bacon, you know. Okay, so let's, Craig, just what was the general consensus, sort of the brief outline of what were the guys saying they think the role of the girl is in a relationship?
To compliment him. Yeah. to correct and affirm, to support, to submit and follow, to honor. But the little wife is also a protector. She must pray for you, and she's a caregiver. Yeah.
Short and sweet, very wise.
Okay, so we've got two things of what the role is not, or we don't think it is not, and the role of a guy is not to complete the lady, and is also not to compete with her. The L and the not L. And then, yeah, he must be something to submit under, you know. And then he must take responsibility, he must lead, he must be the provider, like, he must be the protector. And also, like, he must love as Christ loves. Like, I don't know how it applies in relationships, but I know that is definitely what God expects in marriage. He must be, like, loves sacrificing, same thing. And he must kind of be able to make decisions. He must be able to affirm you. He must be passionate and, I think that's most of him.
So, guys are like, sheesh, okay. Yeah. But expectations, right? Expectations, in my mind, make or break any relationship, right? Sort of, What am I capable of? What am I looking for? And the expectations part kind of says, in a very sneaky, selfish way, what am I expecting to get in return? Hey? You know what I'm saying? Everybody's got expectations when it comes to relationships. Everyone's got an opinion on relationships. You know, it's a very popular subject in secular media. It's all over the tabloids, who's going out with who broke up with who, you know. It's a mixed bag, and a lot of people get hurt, a lot of people have opinions, a lot of people have good experiences, a lot of people have bad experiences. But when it comes to the topic of romantic relationships, it's all about, well, just from what I can see, not saying that it should be like that, but from what I can see, it seems to be people saying, what am I prepared to give, and what do I expect in return? All right? This is what I'm prepared to give you, and this is what I'm expecting to get in this business transaction. Right? Let's call it a business transaction for now. Yes. Okay. But let's don't change the slide just yet. But let's move on a bit. Okay. I want to sort of simplify what's going on, because relationships, it's all complicated and everyone's got an opinion. But let's take those same questions and throw them out for everyday relationships. So how do these questions change when we're talking about our friends? Same questions, but our friends. We're not talking about relationships. We're talking about the everyday people in our lives. And I'm not just talking about friends. I'm also talking about family. Okay? What do we look for in our friends? Are we looking for something in our friends? Or is it just sort of happenstance, whoever's there in the workplace or in the classroom, that's who I'm going to be friends with? That's fine. There's nothing wrong with it. And what do we expect our friends to be playing? What roles do we expect our friends to be playing? Do we expect them to hold us to some sort of accountability? Is there a two-way thing? Okay, so let's change the topic, but stick with the same questions. Now we're going to talk about friends. Same questions. So what do we, can you go to the next slide? What do we look for in friends? What are the roles our friends play? Okay, so I'm going to give you another 5 minutes. How does this all change? Does it change? Fantastic. Okay, so Craig, how did the answers change, or did they change? That's what I want to know. Not necessarily the content, but how did they change, and if they changed, what was being said?
Somebody did mention that most of what we're saying now you should look for in your wife as well. So most of them are the same, but there are a few extras. Things we didn't have earlier: your friend must inspire you. That must support, we had that one earlier. Must be unselfish and generous as well. And your friend mustn't be a parasite. It's not a one-way thing. Yeah.
Okay. So don't be parasite. Cool.
Okay, so on the girls' part.
What changed? Was there any change?
I think, I'm not sure. Is this directly towards guys or towards girls as well?
Friendship.
Okay, yeah, it did definitely change a little bit. we're women, we're complex. Okay, so we're looking for a two-way relationship. You shouldn't do all the work yourself, for you know. Loyalty, trust, sincerity, you must share the same values, must be unselfish or selflessness or something like that. You must be accepting of who you are. And just some people you can just hang with, not really, just be yourself. They must love, you're looking for honesty, openness, and people with that's real. Some people you can just laugh with, and then also must be reliable.
Okay, fantastic. Okay, thank you, Craig and Renee. You may go sit down. Give them a round of applause. So, friendships, relationships, people have got opinions on good friends, bad friends. Some people are speaking out of the hurt. Some people are speaking out of the desire they wish in their heart that they had. Some people are talking about experience. You know, like, okay, guys, that sounds great, but reality, okay? And you know, we're going to be unpacking this whole relationship thing through the whole month, but I thought it would be a good idea, before we go anywhere, let's settle a few sort of ground rules. Let's call them ground rules, okay? What are sort of those underlying principles of any relationship, any interaction with another human being? What are the underlying principles that come into play? Do you understand what I'm saying? Okay, so I'm talking about you meeting somebody on the street, you've never met them before, shake their hand. What are you expecting from that person, and what are you expecting that person to sort of return to you as well, okay? When you shake somebody's hand for the first time, you're not expecting them to kick you in the shin, okay? That would be quite mean, okay? But I think another way to ask this, just to get you thinking, is, okay, we understand that God desires relationship with us, right? So let's turn this. What do you think God looks for in us? Okay? What is he expecting to find when he has invested in us? What is he expecting to, and what does he feel, what does he expect our role to be in that relationship? What do you think are the expectations of you? Okay? Because we also have, you know, we have a lot of opinions about relationships, but kind of when we talk about ourselves and what we can bring and what we can give, you know, then people don't like to talk too loudly all of a sudden, right? So I know what I want from my friends, and I know what I'm prepared to give, but I'm not entirely sure when it comes to my relationship with God, what does that entail? Okay, I want everything God's got to give, but I'm not entirely sure what I'm prepared to give him in return. Okay, so let's just look at three scriptures. And if you're wanting to sort of, if you're feeling like a bit of conviction, you know, go read Philippians 2. To me, that's kind of like a baseline scripture of what any Christian can measure themselves up to. But Philippians 2 verse 3, count others more significant than yourself. Okay? We live in a narcissistic generation, a narcissistic time. Everything's about me. The selfie generation, you can call it. Yes, I won't ask people to stick up their hands. But it's all about me. Do we, when you look at yourself, can you say that you consider other people to be more significant than yourself? And I'm not talking about thinking of yourself as being lowly and wretched and not worth anything. I'm talking about as you understand yourself and your identity to be a son or a daughter of God and to be royalty now that you are redeemed by the blood of Christ. Okay, do you understand or do you deem the people around you to be more significant than yourself? The random person that you meet on the street, do you deem them to be more worthy and more significant than yourself? John 13, verse 34, love one another as I have loved you. Jesus said, to his disciples, I give you a new command. Love one another as I have loved you. How did Jesus love us? To death. So are we prepared to lay down our lives for the people around? Okay, do we consider them more significant? And then secondly, are we prepared to love them to the point where it will cost us our lives? Are we prepared to do that? As there's another scripture, I'm just thinking about it now, but it says, you know, for a righteous man, one might die, you know? But Jesus loved us so much that in our sin, he died for us. Now, isn't that amazing? Like, you talk to a guy, I remember having these you know, schoolyard conversations with my friend when I was young, like in the fifth grade. It's like, yeah, you know, I'll die for my friends. I'll die for my family. You know, you don't really know what you're talking about, but it sounds cool. You know, oh, when the robbers come in, I'm gonna shoot them with my dad's AK-47. You know, we all the guys had those conversations. Come on, yeah, okay. But I mean, are we prepared to die? Not just for our friends, but for complete strangers. Are we prepared to die, to lay down our lives? And I'm not just talking about death, because some people are perhaps prepared to die for another person, but they might not be prepared to live for another person. They might not be prepared just to give up, you know, personal time, personal space, personal money. It's a very... I was having a conversation with my brother this weekend when he immigrated to Canada. He stayed there for 2 years. He's just moved back to South Africa. But he says what he's understood is that when he went to Canada, what he was so shocked by was the hospitality in Canada. Everybody just wanted to make them part of their church, part of their culture, part of the sort of the lifestyle. They wanted him to do a braai so they could show them what a South African braai was. They made him so part of the community. And then he comes here. He says he's never realized it before, but it is such a South African thing that we stick to our boxes, okay? We come to church on a Sunday, and we're very friendly. Hey, Hohanet, ja. It's nice to meet you, okay? But then we want to go home, and we want to be left in peace, and we want to have our afternoon naps with our family in our houses. And maybe they can come for tea at 4, but then they must leave. Yeah? Are we prepared to give up all of that just so somebody may feel welcome in our home, in our church? What are we prepared to do to make somebody feel welcome? Okay, we understand that that people that come into our church, we must be very friendly with them. We understand that we must go preach the gospel, reach the unsaved, you know, but are we willing to count the cost? Are we willing to give up what we think is our rights sometimes, our right, for the sake that one other person may live? And then finally, I purposely want to end with a scripture. Submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. Sure. How many times do we want to win? Hey? And then, average conversation, your average relationship, in your romantic relationships, I want to win. For the guys, this is, you know, the ego comes into play here. You know, one of the girls said, we expect the guys to make the decisions, and I could just feel the guys going, oh, but I do make the decisions. Oh, yeah, okay, I'm the man, you know. I want to win, you know. I want to make a point. I want you to know that when we finish this conversation, I was right and you were wrong. I'm not interested in you having a better relationship with Christ. I'm not interested in you getting saved. I'm interested in me winning now. I need to win. You know, are we willing to submit to one another for this, for an education, to understand that I don't know everything, and maybe Mark can teach me something about the joy of the Lord. I have been struggling in joy. Maybe I should go talk to Mark. Mark knows about joy. Do we understand this community thing where we understand that by ourselves we are not complete in our understanding of God? We are complete in our relationship with God, but we are not complete in our understanding of God. But as a community, we can together explore the nature of God and who He is and what it means to be in relationship with Him. And so that as a team, as a church, as a family, we can come to know the fullness of God. Isn't that exciting? That's not going to happen unless we understand this idea of submitting to one another. And one of the guys said that we expect the girls to submit to us, and the girls went, you know, well, maybe if it's worth submitting, then they're not submit, you know. But submission is such a dirty word in our culture, eh? That's a shame. I think it's a beautiful word, and we'll unpack that as the weeks go by. But I just want to sort of establish these ground rules. Do we consider the people around us to be more significant? Okay, how far are we prepared to go for the people around us? And then are we willing to submit ourselves to them for not just for their sake, but for our sake, for the sake of our community? Are we willing to do that? And to me, those are sort of the ground rules of any relationship. Okay, I've been married for a year. It's been fantastic. And I can tell you that whenever there's fighting, okay, and there have been fights, but I've won, don't worry. Whenever there's been fighting, it's usually one of these three, if not all of them, that are not. Somewhere this is broken down. And I'm not saying it's me or her. It takes two to tango, you know. But somewhere along the lines, one of these three is not happening. And when all three of these things are happening, I can tell you it's magic. There's nothing better in my mind. And that goes for a friendship, that goes for a romantic relationship, that goes for your family, relationships with your brothers and sisters, your father, your mother, same thing. I'm joking. Craig, it was a joke. So, what I want to do, I'm going to ask Gerrit and company to come play some music for us. But I don't need to do an altar call to know that all of us desire good and healthy relationships. Amen? Okay. Community, I believe, is something that God created us for. Okay. Friendship, relationship, going together in unity and peace, thriving to be in relationship with God. I believe that it is God's desire. I believe it is the desire of every person as well. So I'm going to ask us all to stand right now. Father, we just thank you, Father, that you're in this house tonight, Father. Father, we thank you that you desire for you to know each and every one of us, Lord Father God. Father, your love is so tangible, it is so real, that you were willing to give up your most prized possession that you might know us and be in communion with us, Lord Father. Father, I pray here tonight, Father, that we do not let your Son die in vain. Father, I pray that as you are busy ministering to the people, as you are busy walking in and amongst us, Lord Father God, that you're walking through the chairs, Lord Father, and you're busy touching people right now, Lord Father God. Father, I pray for healing, Lord Father God, where people have experienced bad relationships. Father, I pray for people who have had bad relationships with their fathers, specifically. And it affects the way that they see you. They understand that you are a father, but how am I supposed to understand that my father is good when my own father has never shown me goodness? Well, Father, I pray for people that have been hurt in friendships, who desire and long for good friendships, but they don't feel they have the ability to relate to people anymore. They feel that they've been burnt, Father. They stuck out their hand and they got burnt and they're too afraid to stick out their hand again. Father, I just pray for people that desire more, that know that this cannot be it. I was created for something more. If anything of what I've said to you has resonated with you, I want to ask you to come forward and we want to pray with you. Just where you're standing, just leave your stuff. Just come up front here. Because it is my desire that you are in relationship with God first and foremost. And I want to get rid of all this baggage that gets in the way. So just where you are, I just want you to come forward. Don't think about it. If you know that your relationship with God isn't right, I just want you to come forward. For whatever reason. Father, we just thank you, Lord Father, that you desire that relationship with us, Lord Father. Father, we just thank you that you are for us and not against us. Lord Father, I want to speak to the lie that people believe, that they believe that there isn't a wife or a husband for them, Lord Father God. I want to speak to the lie where people believe that they think that they are tainted goods, that they can never be forgiven for what they... Luke, you don't understand what I've done, what I've been involved in. You don't understand. And I will say that that is a lie from the pit of hell. There is nothing that you have done or can do that would disqualify you from the love of Jesus. You were made to be in relationship with God, full stop. And there is nothing that God is more committed to than being in a relationship with you, than getting to your heart. And he will move mountains to do it. And if you think your sin or your baggage can stand in the way, you are sorely mistaken. And secondly, I pray for the people who want more. And you have a good relationship with God, but you want more. And I believe God has been talking to you about a new season. Something new, the word new specifically. And I just want you to come over here to the left. We want to pray for you.